I'm ready to be him.
I know.
For all.
I'm excited about it.
You down.
I had all day.
6 feet under.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
A little bit of thunder, a little bit of lightning.
No, I want to do the same stuff, but I don't want to change. That's good.
Okay.
And then I want to do it. Yeah, let me just change it.
What number is this going to be?
I'm going to make it longer to make it more relevant to the question.
What number is this?
Questions on the test.
Just a second.
Oh, okay.
This is making it longer. Okay, this is. And we have a guy in the test named Dr. Malpractice. I want that for name. Okay. Now, this one is. Is this a Lady Gaga question? No, that's what. This is 14. Lady Gaga is on, I think, 11. He used to be another singer, but I have to update it for the next generation. We made it Lady Gaga.
Should be
it's long, but it's real long.
Wow, this is going to take a half hour to figure out. Alright, hey. Woo hoo! Big money, big money, big money, big money.
You guys gonna have a side bet on?
No.
Side bets are okay in the League of Wheel of Fortune as long as I don't know about
them. Bet you a penny.
Just do it yourself without penalty.
Jay.
You got a thing with Jay's.
There's got to be a J up there somewhere. No! Oh my God, I picked the one letter right out there.
A
lot. B.
B?
B as in boy.
It's kind of funny that there isn't because law in Latin is juris. Just J. J-U-R-F.
Ah.
It should be. One more letter and we'll be where in Lucas's range.
It already has it. Turn.
E.
Possible.
It's gonna be a while. I have no clue.
Oh, Jesus.
D.
F.
K.
N.
And
I don't know what that little weird is. Defecation. If it.
You gotta give me two rules. Two rules for this.
Oh, acceptance or rejections of public office?
No, not rejection.
Wait, that even gets a weird.
No, it's up. You already guessed it wrong. It's his turn. My eyes are getting insane. No, that's not a letter that I know.
Oh.
That is a letter that I know. Last word. Same last word. Come on, get it. Yes, go.
Acceptance or revocation of public office?
Yes, starting with acceptance. How does one accept?
Oh, you know the word
and
revocation.
Who can accept?
In the face!
Come on, Nick. Who can accept and how does one accept a public offer? And then we'll talk about revocation and how it's effective. Can any member of the public accept a public offer?
Yeah, no.
You gotta give me one or the other. You can't say yes or no. Well, one of them's right. You gotta give me one or the other.
Yeah.
And how does one do it? Think of stores. Merchants selling goods. Keep it relevant to our times.
They agree to.
How would one accept a public offer on a price on goods? Which is what? It's an advertisement.
Buy it.
So how does one accept?
Buy it.
Well, they gotta show up. Show up.
Oh, you have to be there to get it.
Because the problem is, sometimes you show up and those goods aren't available at that price. And they just did that. It's called bait and switch. It gets you in the store. Okay. How is a merchant able to revoke a public offer once made?
If they put in where the offer is, supplies limited or for a limited time. Then, when the person comes there, they can...
We have a tie. You tie them up. That's good enough.
But what about the one that had a...
Alright.
Good news is, I didn't even know what the second one was meant, so... I'm guessing that means you have to take rejects, same thing as rejects, right?
Revoke.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel bad for her legs up there. She's probably got like a workout
and
standing
up
there.
Yeah, I have it somewhere in
what?
My notes. I'll find it.
I'm sorry that me and his capability of telling me.
Oh, wait.
First thing is, I did
not
write
that down. You're all right.
Let's start with this. We're going to finish this off with a real easy one. We've already mentioned it tonight.
So, do I go
first? And, because I really want this game to end with this one here. Uh-huh. All right? If he doesn't get this right, I'm probably going to jump out that window right
now.
Nick goes first because Nick. Nick won, so Nick goes first. Nice and easy here.
Huh?
Hey.
Yes, we do.
Aha!
Only one. You don't know that one. All right.
Okay, we should just go through the alphabet. A, you pick B, I pick C, you pick D.
You did that last time, it didn't work too well.
It'll work out eventually.
By the way, for next week, just so you know, or for when we review for the final, the winner of this goes against Mike. Those two guys, is the other semi-bracket.
Well, I don't want to do that. B.
B.
And the final round is just like the World Series, 4 out of 7.
Mm.
All stuff that's going to be on the final exam.
Well, I'll be there.
All right, who's up?
C.
C, senor. D. Or not D, I mean T.
E.
T.
E.
E is an Eddie.
E or
T?
E.
There.
Oh.
No clue.
F. No F.
T.
No T. No coffee either. G. Too late for that.
Huh?
Aha! Well, it's ha-ha. Give us a free.
That was a ha-ha. I got a
winner. H.
The answer is no. There is no H.
You did do the survey.
I.
There you go.
There you go.
Now you cook.
That's right. And we got one here, too. Yeah. Come on, that should be enough. Get the drums rolling. Or the bongos playing. Flatless or something.
M.
Did he say what number this was?
The answer is,
say
there is no answer.
Was.
No.
Your turn.
Law school, as I used to say. And the answer, after keep us guessing for 20 minutes. And he finally say, and the answer is, there is no answer. Oh,
mirror image rule.
Mirror image rule?
Ha!
That's a reflection of your former self, right? What is the mirror image rule?
I do not know.
Yes, don't I know it.
Do not know?
I know it, but I don't know how to put it together.
I know how to put it
together. That's like Justice Potter Stewart of the Supreme Court's definition of obscenity. He says he doesn't know what obscenity is, but he knows it when he sees it. Which means he's got to look at all the evidence. Larry.
Mirror image rule is like, can I just give an example of it?
Yeah, it's the right example. Right. Yeah.
If some guy says, hey, let's have a contract, and he gets in the contract saying, the only way you can reply to this contract to make it a good contract is by mail, you have to mail your exceptions, because if he offers you the contract by mail, you have to return the offer by mail to accept the contract.
We're talking about common law.
Yes.
Right? Not UCC.
It's not the UCC.
So you're saying the acceptance has to be...
As
what to be, to make it a valid contract?
Whatever they tell you that you have to.
Yeah. The acceptance has to be the mirror image of the offer. So if the offer is, will you agree to A, B, and C? The answer has to be yes or no, I won't agree, or I will agree to A, B, and C in order to have a contract. You can't add terms. Right. Sorry, Nick. That was a hard fought round. Let's give them both a hand.
Yeah.
Well, we got our semi pairings, Larry against Mike, and we have Jacob against Lucas.
You're still
there, guys.
I didn't know.
We prepare for the fire.
I actually feel tired.
Make sure everything else is covered.
Does that one also have to be accepted?
Is this a question on the test?
The mail or whatever, the same way.
If the offeror said, this is how I want you to respond, you have to enter the mirror image rule. If the offeror didn't say how to respond, any reasonable man means we're not okay. Right,
the
one we've got, that's pre-existing.
What number is this on the
test? Pre-existing, mirror image is actually in several of them. So, let me just go through it again. The first one dealt with pre-existing duty rule, but remember there's an exception for settlement of lawsuits. Because every time the parties, one person suing another for damages, one person is claiming that this is the full amount, and if they agree to accept a lesser amount to settle it, you'd have a problem every time with the pre-existing duty rule. But the exception is because courts want lawsuits to be settled. Whenever there is a pending lawsuit and the parties agree to settle a claim for less than the amount that's actually owed, never a problem with the pre-existing duty rule. Those settlements are always enforceable because of the public policy of settling cases that are in the court system. Remember that. Two we covered. Three we did not cover in the legal wheel of fortune. We have contracts with minors. Remember, they're voidable. Voidable as to the minor, not as to the person the minor is dealing with. Unless both parties are minors, which is not the situation here. So you don't need to worry about that. Here we have an adult and a minor.
It's voidable as to the minor, but if the minor accepts the goods or the services and for more than a reasonable period of time and does not attempt to get out of the contract by exercising his right to void it, then he's held to have ratified the contract. You can also expressly ratify a contract. You ratify a contract that was voidable, and when you ratify it, it makes you responsible and you can't get out of it anymore. And you can ratify it either by sending a letter or notification that says that you're not going to exercise your right to get out of it. Or you can impliedly ratify a contract by doing nothing and retaining the value of the services or the goods that were provided. Because remember that when a minor exercises the right to get out of the contract, they have to return the goods. They can't keep the goods and not pay for them. No court would permit that. So watch out for ratification here on the third problem. Four is implied in law contract. By the way, quasi contract and implied in law contract are the same thing. So if you see quasi contract in here, it means implied in law contract. Where the court will enforce what one party believed was an obligation to pay, even though the other party said we had no contract, to avoid unjust enrichment or one party taking advantage of the other, in circumstances in which there was a reasonable expectation for payment, and which everybody knew, or should have known, this wasn't going to be free grass. Five is unilateral contract, pretty clear cut. Six, we didn't talk about, it deals with the mirror image rule, but it deals with a couple of well-known exceptions. Outputs and requirements contracts would seem to be what's called an illusory agreement and not enforceable, because no quantity is specified. The quantity is one of the things that the parties have to agree upon for a contract. Quantity and price, of course. But in an outputs or requirements contract, these are between businesses, between business people, and as long as each party is acting in good faith in what they were requiring for the output of their business, the court will enforce the contract, even though no quantity was specified at the time they entered into it. So that type of an agreement does not fail for lack of definiteness. And of course, there is consideration for that. If you say, I'll buy all the output of your factory, you're locking out your competitors. I will take care of all of the needs of your business. The other business doesn't have any marketing expense. They're all set. As soon as they produce something, they don't have to market it. There's already a buyer there. So there's consideration for locking each other into that. Seven deals with the termination of contract offers, and a whole bunch of things can terminate a contract offer before it's accepted. The offeror dies before it's accepted, or files bankruptcy such that they're not legally able to enter into contracts. Because when you file bankruptcy, it puts a legal freeze on all of your ability to enter into contracts. Or if the offeror revokes it. Of course, if we have the firm offer rule with sale of goods, we see that's different. That's not mentioned here. An acceptance that offers a term, that's a mirror image rule. That terminates the original offer as well, the common law. But merely inquiries, discussions, trainings, memos back and forth doesn't terminate anything. Parties are free to do that, and that doesn't terminate anything. Eight is a fraud situation. The question is, there's two kinds of fraud. Fraud in the execution, which makes the contract void, and fraud in the inducement, which makes it voidable. Fraud in the inducement means that you lie to somebody knowingly, knowing that if you didn't lie, they wouldn't have entered into the contract with you because you wanted to get what they had. That makes the contract voidable to the innocent party. Fraud in the execution, because it involves a criminal act, usually, false pretenses or even the use of physical force, would be duress. Duress is the physical force that makes it void. Gun to the head. Fraud in the execution is the cleverness with which you disguise what the contract is and get the party to sign something, maybe by switching the papers at the last second. And they sign something they didn't think they were signing. That's fraud in the execution. That's void. And really, 8 and 9 are the same thing, and they're related. Undue influence is another thing that will make the contract voidable. You prey on a vulnerable person, a senior citizen, or take advantage of a strong emotional appeal to somebody that's vulnerable to that and get them to give you something or give you a contract they otherwise would not have at a price they never would have, but for the undue influence. Conflict of interest, taking advantage of the person. That's it. 10 deals with the firm offer rule. Remember, it only applies to UCC, which means it's only going to apply to a merchant. A merchant is somebody who's in the business of selling goods. They have a business. Not just somebody that every once in a while sells a car or sells something on a computer. 11 is a Lady Gaga question. It's a negotiation between her and a Midland establishment. Actually, the H Hotel. We're going back and forth on a price. If there's not a meeting of the mind as to price, at common law, you don't have a contract. And if you don't have a contract, there's no obligation to perform. So you'd have to see here whether or not it appears that they had a meeting of the mind on the price to come and sing at the H Hotel on a particular evening. If they don't, it's not enforceable. And you can always go, look, never keep promissory estoppel totally out of the picture. Promissory estoppel is not a contract defense or a contract argument, but it's an equitable argument. Say, yeah, yes, that's true, we didn't really have a contract. But, Your Honor, it was a reasonable promise for me to rely upon. I had every reason to believe this person would follow through on it. I incurred legal detriment, which means I did something I otherwise wouldn't have done. I spent money in reliance on the promise made to me when I never would have. And now the party has revoked it. So consider promissory estoppel as well as at least a possible answer here. But it has to be fair and equitable to apply it. If by applying it you're not getting a fair and equitable result, then you all have a pretty good sense of what that would be. Strikes you as really unfair, then you're not going to apply promissory estoppel. 12 deals with selling car, difference between express warranty and sales puffing. We have to understand that salespeople engage in sales talk, just because they do, that's not necessarily express warranty. Express warranty is a promise made by the seller regarding the condition or quality of the goods. And if they don't measure up to that condition or quality as stated, you can then sue the seller for breach of express warranty. So, express warranty is an assertion of fact about the goods. Sales puffing is hype. Sales hype, it tends to be opinion and not fact. It's vague as opposed to specific. So those are the three ways to distinguish between sales talk and express warranty. Assertion of fact or opinion, specific or vague. Does this person appear to be knowing what they're talking about? Are they able to promise something regarding the condition of quality of this business? So I'll give you a little example here, and you have to pick one or the other. But you get four possible answers, and I do encourage, again, students to write in the margin. If you think that maybe two answers are right, or no answers are right, or all the answers are right, whatever you think, explain that in the margin. And it appears to me that you understand the rule involved, but maybe you got tricked by the wording, then I'll still give it to you. 13 is the one that I'm in. A singer, at least he's famous as far as I'm concerned, my generation is famous. Well, the good thing about this one is there's only three answers, not four. So you got three to pick from. This deals with liquidated damages. Look at it very carefully. If this appears to you to be at least a ballpark, if I don't show up to sing with this guy, if it appears to at least be a ballpark estimate of what the damages would mean. Damages means losses because they weren't able to perform. Then it's enforceable. If it appears to be way off that, it's not enforceable. So, one or the other. 14 is the public ad. Radio Shack and the Saginaw News here. We have a bunch of people showing up, and you just got to determine whether the store protected themselves or not. Did the store put language in it? Did the store attempt to revoke the offer before this day when everybody showed up? And if they didn't do that, did the store put some language in their ad to indicate we only have a limited number, a limited supply, first come, first serve? If they didn't do that, and all these people show up, that's where the term rain check comes from. Every one of them has been, in a public offer contract, the store has breached their contract with every one of those people that showed up, if they didn't protect themselves. So look to see if that language in there. Right. And 15 deals with the minimum requirements for writing to constitute a written contract. You got to have consideration. What is the price? Supposed to be a quantity in there, unless you get one of those exceptions like requirements and outflows. So the goods identified, or the object identified, the price and quantity identified, and only, here's the key, and only one of the two parties need to sign it. The party against whom the contract is sought to be enforced against must have signed it. The party doesn't necessarily have to have signed it. As long as he's prepared to get on the stand and testify that this is the agreement, and maybe he'll have other witnesses as well, this is the agreement that he entered into with that other party. Because the one trying to enforce it, they're saying that's their contract, they're saying it under oath, that's all that they need. And the last essay just says, describe the various changes made by the UCC in the law of contracts regarding the sales of services. And that's word 44. Okay. So now, we're going to go into our next section.